Not too often I change my schedule on preaching. I've been a professor for many years, 20 years, and I'm very studious of my material and what I want the students to learn. But church is different. It's not a classroom. It's filled with people who need to fill their heart with God's presence. And even though I have the entire year scheduled for me to teach you, morning and evening, once in a while when I'm alone, I'm thinking in you, and thinking in people, and thinking in those who I counsel, and thinking in myself and my wife, and look in the newspaper, listen to the television and late broadcast, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning of our president as he broadcasts to Europe. And listen to the entire panorama of the world. And I'm afraid that if you are not at least 1 hour in the scripture a day, you're going to be caught by the devil to believe that we are living in America in hard times. I wish you can fly to different countries, even Europe, and see the standards so different from one another, and how high a life is beyond imagination of the standards of the world. Every quarterly, by law, our church has set a record on the state of California for 26 years. We give a report to ourselves and a copy available to the state of what we have done, directed by the deacons and financials and details of the church. That is not my responsibility. I'm not the king of the church, Jesus is. I'm just one of you, the teacher. And then I give you a challenge for the future. And usually we have a handful of people here rather than the whole church. And so I thought that rather than giving the report that I'm going to do today to you, later I will give it to you in a form of a preaching. And if you want a copy, a written hard copy is available. If you want a PDF copy is available. Whatever you want to do, satellite copy is available. My daughter had this sermon 3 days ago, and I have a talk heart to heart with her about God and her difficulties, and the drama of Daniel's problem. And so we need to look up in times of trouble, and we need to find directions from God. And so here it is. If you turn your Bible to Zechariah 4:6, where you are now in page 2023, we read these profound words in times of crisis. Israel was at the edge of a heavy attack from the enemy, like you and I are in our mind. Satan is not here in America to conquer the land, but here in America to conquer the mind of the Christians. That's our battlefield. Ephesians 6:10, remember? We have a spiritual enemy. And he wants to conquer your mind and conquer my mind so that we surrender to his supposed plans. And so in Zechariah's time, this is not new, was the same. And I have to sit down and read at least 10 times, First Chronicle and Second Chronicle, to see how my great fellow King David did it in times like this. Here's the message of God to Zechariah. Then he answered and he spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. In the capital, Lord means Jehovah. Unto Zerubbabel, the one who's going to rebuild Jerusalem. The one who got the architect. You know, we hire an architect to do the new building for us. And here is God hire an architect to do the building for Jerusalem, Zerubbabel. And look at what he says. He was a smart guy, the best of Israel. And he said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord
a host.
My friends, divine direction is the secret of divine distinction. We are different people than the people in the world because we live our life by divine direction. You study in high school about animals and you know that every great eagle is guided into his enviable destiny. All he does is to look out for the current of the wind, spread his wing, and ride on it forever. The eagle. He doesn't have to flap his wings or struggle. He simply soars into a great height. 5, 10, 15,000 feet high without one effort of his wings. If you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2, page 1181, page 1181, Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read two verses, verse 2 and verse 4, to show you that the wind in the Bible represent in most of the occasions the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, the church starts. Everybody was afraid. What are we going to do tomorrow with the church? This is no Israel. And the Bible said that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, said the scripture. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind in the Bible, when you read it, is a tremendous picture of the power of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every eagle Christian are led by the Spirit of God. Turn your Bible to Romans 8 in verse 14, page 1230. Page 1230, Romans 8 in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not the children of God, tekna, the sons of God, weos. They are the ones who can manifest the sons of God. On the other hand, children and babes of God are led by assumption. So they, people who live their life by assumption, they live in frustration, which is the term in psychology is they live in depression. Because they assume their lives ought to be in this way and God changes a little and then they are frustrated. It is one thing to know where we are going and another thing to know how to get there. You get it? One thing is to know where you are going and another thing is to know how you get there. Every time I was in the stadium underground at that time, before going up to play the professional game, the coach would stand and said to each one of us, repeat what you are going to do. And he did not say, do not say what you know. Just tell me what you're going to do in the field in 10 seconds. What are you going to do with your life? Vision tells us God's ultimate for you. But direction shows you the step that will bring about the fulfillment of your vision. Although God has prepared distinction for all of us this year, it's going to be a great year to show up the world that Bethel stands for God. He will only take us there a step by a step. Nothing happened at once. So it is important to ensure that we are on course with his purpose for our life. Because when we are led by God, he goes before us to clear the way and make us superstars in spite of oppositions or anything of difficulties in this world. If we are led by God, we will get there. It is my prayer that we all will not miss out the divine plan for you in this world at this hour, so the world will know the Bethel Baptist Church and the people of God at Bethel Baptist Church do not surrender to the affairs of Satan in this world. So I think that we need to jot down three or four things that we must know. I think you've forgotten. You know, but you've forgotten. Again, copy of what I'm telling you. It's already print. It's already in the hands of many. And I will make it available to you. I want you to read it over and over and over so you can smile again. And in spite of the turmoil that comes into your way. The first thing that we need for our life. What do we need for America as Christians? I'm not talking to unbelievers at all. I'm talking to Christians. What do we need for a time like this? First, we need unction. You know what unction is? It's an special touch of God. Turn your Bible to the famous passage in Psalm 23, verses 1 and verse 5, page 647. Page 647, Psalm 23, verse 1 and verse 5. We need an unction. And King David, who was suppressed all the time by the economy, by the wiles of his country, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now look at verse 5. "Thou anointest my head with oil." And what did he said? "My cup ran over." My mother-in-law, who was my partner in getting married to Raquel, and many of you heard this story yesterday as Raquel told you the other side of this story. She used to put a cup of water like this, and she bring a pitch, and she said, "I will be happy, Gabriel, when your life is like this." And she put water on that glass, and the water ran over. "I will be so happy," she said. "The only thing I want for you and Raquel, I know you're talented. I know God will provide money. I know you're educated. But I need something to know," she said. I want, the water is the word in the spirit. And I'm going to put it in this glass," she said. "And when it all goes around, I want you all the time like that. And my daughter will be safe," she said. Care less about money, care less what house you live, care less what car you drive or what clothing you have. But when your spirit run over, she said, "My daughter is safe." What a wisdom. One of the blessings of divine direction is unction to overcome challenge on our way. We enjoy overflowing anointing that renders our enemies helpless and commands unending favor upon our life. When you're anointed of the Lord, your enemy cannot touch, and then all the grace of God flows through you. Remember Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by mathematical equation, nor by human power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. That means the anointing of the Lord is the only warranty for the accomplishment of every vision in this world. Let me explain this. There is a great difference between a man who is trained for something and another who is anointed for it. The anointed man enjoys more grace of God than anybody else. So he exhibits unusual expertise and natural excels in the area of his life above those who were trained on it. Why? Because he has the touch of the presence of God. Of course, this is not by his power, nor by his might, but by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life. The power of God is what make us unbeatable in the race of life, my friends. It's not your education that helps, but it's not. It's not your money that helps, but it's not. It's the power of God. That was why when God called Gideon, remember? Even though he saw himself as a misfit for the task, God told something to him. Look at the book of Judges. In chapter 6 and in verse 14, page 299. Judges, chapter 6 and verse 14. Page 299. He thought that he was not the man for the task to liberate Israel. And look. God said to him, have not I sent thee? Go in these my might. He says, God. Judges chapter 6 verse 14. Have I not I sent thee? He went in the power of the Lord and he conquered the land. And in spite of his weakness, when we are off divine plan, we end up struggling against the tide of life and therefore cannot make any outstanding progress in our life. I watch it carefully, the life of the church. And if we do not make outstanding progress, then I know there is something wrong in the command in my life. And I need to review what we're doing. When we are on course with God's purpose for our life, he is committed to back us up with his power and ensure our distinction to the amazement of the world around us. To the amazement. There is nothing that can stop you to lead the most successful life ever lived, in spite of what they call the world economy. The world is being prepared by God so that Jesus is coming. That's all. That he will support his Christians in the palm of his hand. Read the book of Genesis. When chaos was in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham cried, remember to God, I have my nephew over there. What do you think? So, it is 50 people. Will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? No, if there are 50 believers, I will not do it. If it's 40, he said. If it's 30, 20. And God said, it's my time. The only believer in Sodom and Gomorrah is your nephew. Go and take it out. And I will destroy it. God will never destroy this world with you on it. Think in that way. There is a second thing. Only you need the unction of the Lord. And the only way to get the unction of the Lord is not to come forward and to me to spray your head with water. That's not the way you get the unction of the Lord. You get the unction of the Lord by reading the scripture, kneel down and pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction. Secondly, what is it in your life? Passion? A vision. What drives your life? Passion. A vision. When I was a soccer player, it was passion. The coach used to say, without passion, you don't kill the others. You know, and so on. But what is it in your life that drives your life? Passion, a vision. Turn your Bible to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 7, page 894. Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, chapter 3, and verse 7. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Who is he who will say, I will do this in this way regardless, when God said, don't do it? I have a lot of young couples in my long life as a pastor who have come to me and said, I want to marry this boy because I like it. I said, he's an unbeliever. I don't care. So, no, you, I will never marry you. I will never do the ceremony. Oh, pastor, say, I go to the corner and the other pastor marry me. I care less who marry you, but you are not doing God's will in your life. Who is, in the Bible, they said, I will do what I want, regardless what God said. Who is this? Passion does not equal vision. Never, never. I want to give you an example you will recall in your mind. Moses moved out at the wrong time because of his strong passion for the liberty of Israel in the land of Egypt. Remember? He landed in exile and frustration in the desert because he followed his passion rather than the leading of God. No matter how much you feel like doing something, if it is not commanded by God, you will be frustrated in its pursuit. Remember Matthew 4:19? Turn over there. Matthew 4, verse 19, page 1040. Matthew 4, verse 19, page 1040. Jesus said, follow me. You see it? Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me. Matthew 4:19. And I will make you. It is only in following him that our place of distinction is warranted. That is how eagle Christians are made. They are not driven by passion, but they are driven by the vision of God. They are Christians who submit to divine leading, not minding their own personal desires in all the areas of your life. Check your life. Take a test of your life. How's my financial with respect to giving God the honor and the glory of my financial price? Do I take the liberty to use God's money for my own? When we are on course with divine plan, our going is smooth. Because the one that is leading you knows the end from the beginning. Remember the Bible said, God knows the end from the beginning. Of every matter. When I was speaking in the assembly of psychologists and psychiatrists for my book, Marriage Word, nobody can believe it. That I believe what I believe. But nobody can question my joy. And nobody can question my 48 years of marriage when they are 10 years remarry and 20 years later they remarry again. God tell us when to stop and when to move. The deacon board of this church has shown you that when the deacon board said we're going to stop for 6 months and analyze what the Lord has for us in the new project of this church, the new building. That's leadership. That's leading of God. Third, most of people do this. Please don't assume. Don't assume. I remember my coach. I remember so many things. I'm thinking, I'm taking some medicine. Don't let me sleep. So I at my table, doing mathematical equations for just fun, and then remembering some things of my past life when I was young. And I remember my coach saying many times, because the ball goes to the right, to your left, don't assume it's going to stay there. It's supposed to go there and there and there and do a zigzag and come to you. But don't assume. Don't assume. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. In verse 12, page 730, Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. David was a great warrior from his youth. He never lost any battle because he never walked by assumption. And I'm going to give you an example. Turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 18, page 375. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, page 375. David never moved himself by assumption. Look at what the Bible says. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And now look at verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thy hands." But when he was again faced with the same situation, look at in verse 23 of the same chapter, in verse 24. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry tree, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." For every new challenge, David went to God for fresh instruction. Doesn't matter if the same challenge comes to you again. Don't assume that because you did it in this way before and was successful, it's going to be successful in this way now. You need to go and say, "God, what do you want for my life now?" Now. He never assumed that a battle would be like the previous, because expertise and experience can never take the place of divine direction. When he brings you in a trial in this way, and he brings the same trial again, he maybe wants you to solve it in a different way. And you need to inquire. You need to ask God, "My people, shall I go for this job or take that other one? Is it your will for me to go into this deal with this brother or with that company?" Don't panic. You know, in James 4:2, God said, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Now, all things that glitter is gold, but all things lay bare before God. He knows the counterfeit from the genuine. And so you have to ask God, "God, is this what you want to do with my life at this particular time in my life?" Don't panic. He's in control. Four, and final, stand upon your watch. Stand upon your watch. Go to Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 1, page 1013. One of the things I'm blessed of the Lord is that my grandmother drilled the Old Testament into my mind. And so I know every situation of life. I know every difficulty of life through the Old Testament, like the palm of my hand. And so that helped me for direction. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch," say Habakkuk, "and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. After all said and done, let us before him alone and watch to see what he will say to us. Let us keep our heart open and be determined to let God have his way in our life. Not what we want, but what he wants for our life. Let us be sensitive to his leading and align our life with them. No matter how promising a project or a business looks, if God is not involved, it will be harder than a rock." Remember that. "But when his hand is on it, no matter how impossible it looked at first, God will make a way. He will make you to suck honey out of a hard rock." When God leads, He refreshes your soul with an inner peace which you can't buy with money, with jobs, or with titles. It's the inner peace of a man that makes a man great. I was talking to my daughter and through the internet and writing. And her husband asked her, now that they are tough times, I got no jobs anymore and I'm sick, perhaps with cancer. Where do you run for help? She said, I run to Morgan Hill because my daddy prayed. Then she wrote, I grew up in a home where I never saw panic. I grew up in a home where I never saw the word difficulty. I grew up in a home where tomorrow was better than today. So how can I panic? This is what you can do, Christians, with your children. To drill in their heart what you believe. When God leads, He refreshes your soul with an inner peace which you can't buy with money. He provides and protects and warranties your distinction. You are different than anybody. You won't miss His leading anymore. So now is my questions to you. Here is my exhortation to Bethel. I want to challenge you, beloved. Bethel members, friends who are here and those who are listening over the airways, radio, television, internet, CD, tape ministry. Let us make in our mind a covenant confirmation with God. And here's what I'd like you to do. Number one, tell the Lord, Lord, from this day forward, let your will suit me. Lord, from this day forward, let your will suit me. Let your plans be comfortable to me and your ways be acceptable to me. That helped me tremendously. Helped me tremendously. Because you can get locked. I too can get locked in a little tiny thing and we don't see it. And as we share our life with the spiritual people, they see it from outside and they help you. And I share my life with my daughter we are body. And with my super Jacqueline, who is super spiritual. And I'm in a battlefield with a stupid car, that big boat, old boat over there. And I don't want to spend a penny of the Lord in the wrong way. And my super son-in-law said, but Dad, let's take time. The car you gave to Jacqueline, that Honda Accord, it has only 45,000 miles in a garage because Jacqueline comes and she takes the bus. It's more fun, she said. And she's now not going to come home. She's going to be until in embassies around the world. And then she's going to come home maybe in December. And then she's maybe going to spend her life in an embassy someplace in the world. Why don't you sell your car, she said, and save that money when she wants to do something, give it to her, and we give you the car back. In the meantime, you have time to wait and not the enemy take your money unwisely. See, you need counsel of the spiritual people around you. Lord, let your will suit me. Number two, I know you can't mislead me. Tell the Lord, I know you can't mislead me. So help me to submit in truth and indeed to your will. When you see the will of God in the Bible, just do it. Number three, from this moment, have the final say in my steps, Lord. I will wait upon you. And that's what I did. Thank God to my wife. Wait upon the Lord and share with us intimate. You need to have an intimate, a spiritual person around you. I hope it's your wife or your husband. And your children. This works in my family. If you wait upon the Lord, you will know what to do next. Believe me. Number four, help me, Lord, to follow your direction for my life as you lead me to my place of super distinction this year to show the world that I don't belong to a God who submits to Satan. I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if he wants us to make a new building, let him make it. If he wants us to have this or the other, let him have it. But God, Satan will not suppress me. Satan will not, they try to make your life miserable, dear. Please, look up your face and let God fill your life. Let us pray. Eternal God, you call us to be a special people, to preach the gospel and show mercy. Keep your spirit with us as we meet together, so that in everything we may do your will. Guide us, lest we stumble or be misguided by our own personal desires. May all we do be done for the reconciling of the world in Christ, for the upbuilding of your church, your people, and for the greater glory of Jesus, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In his name we pray. Amen.
But the Spirit of God knew. So will you stand, please, for the benediction? The meeting that follows is that church business meeting with all the accounting and all the details. And we encourage you to stay to know how the affairs of the church go. Father, may this be the beginning of a new year in our life, personally and collectively. May we no longer say we are in a world tragedy. We are in the hands of a God who is bringing Jesus to us. And so, Father, give us the sensitivity of the Spirit of God, that as a church body and as individuals, we may look to your word more than the newspaper. We will look to your word more than the magazine. We will be so encouraged will be so uplifted that this church will be entirely different in 1 week. And when we pray here on Wednesday, the walls will be enough, not enough, to hold the people to say thank you to you, God, that you brought us together. In Jesus, I pray with the desires of my heart. In his name, amen.